Welcome to the Hope City Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Man, welcome. So glad you're here this morning. So many showed up. Thank you for being here. I'm so glad you're here. And today, as we dig into this message series in Matthew 24, it's been so good. We're talking about the end times. We're talking about what Scripture has to say about the end times. Just to put your heart at ease, QR codes are not the mark of the enemy, all right? Our mark of the beast, all right? Some of you wonder, like, man, should I be using that? Like, am I? No, that's not the mark of the beast, all right? So please use the QR codes. It makes life easier for you, all right? Just want to put your heart at ease. I know some of you are wondering, all right? Now, when we ask you to put it up here, no, I'm just kidding, all right? Just kidding, all right? I am bad, but it's fun. All right. You got to have a little bit of levity when it comes to talking about the end times, because, man, if not, it can get pretty heavy. And so we're in the book of Matthew chapter 24. If you've got your physical Bible, will you raise them up? I want to see them. We encourage everybody, bring your physical Bibles to church. We want to have that. Did you know there could be a day when they take the Bible off the app, off the apps? So I want to encourage you to have your physical Bibles. And make sure they're not dusty. I'm going to do a Bible check on the way out. I'm just kidding. I'm not. But we look at this, and in Matthew 24, we have known that this is the last week of Jesus' life, probably Wednesday of his life before he went to the cross on Friday. And so he was really leaving his final words to us, all right? And at first, he had talked to the religious leaders of the day, but in Matthew 24, he shifted gears, and he started speaking to his disciples. So people that had followed him, people that were close to him. And as we dig into Matthew 24, he starts a conversation to give us a clear picture of what the end of this world is going to look like and what we can expect. He gave us multiple signs and warnings to be ready for the return of Jesus and the end of this world. And as we are moving along in life, you start to see those prophetic signs. All of a sudden, the prophetic words are met. You see it happen. All right? Because here's the thing. Everything Jesus said in Matthew 24 is going to happen. It's going to happen. Right? And we know that because we can see where God has kept his word all throughout the Bible. We're in a moment where the end of time has not happened yet, and we've got to believe that what Jesus says is how it's going to happen. And what we pull out of it is so important. If you turn your Bibles, open up to Matthew 24, we're continue our series, Echoes from the End. One of the things I've discovered about following Jesus is that most people miss what God is doing today because they're either living in yesterday or they're worried about tomorrow. They're not living in the present. And we're going to dig in and we're going to talk about that a little bit because Jesus talked about that in this portion of Scripture. Some people are chained to the past. Others are consumed with the future. Very few people actually live faithfully in the present, right now, today. Listen, you can't do anything to change your past, and you can't do anything. Worrying is not going to help you fix the future. Jesus is already in the future working on your behalf. What we are called to do is live right now at this very moment, right? I'm convinced there's a lot of people that in life, and they look back and they realize how much they missed because they were either looking backwards or they were so worried about the future that never happened that they miss living in the present. They miss seeing their kids raised. They miss the blessing of their jobs. They miss the blessing of their homes, the people around them. It's exactly what Jesus was telling his disciples to be aware of. And it's interesting, he wasn't talking to lost people here. He was talking to people who were the Christians, who were the believers. And today, the message that we're going to read and the scripture that we're going to read, he's talking to you and me. And I think sometimes we can get so used to doing Christianity that we miss what God is saying to us. And Jesus was saying, okay, this is for you. This is for you. This is for people who believe. This is for people who have followed me. Matthew 24 isn't just about predicting the future, it's preparing faithful people. Listen, you can be a Christian for a year, but when you're a Christian for 50 years, that's a whole different story. Most people, they don't make it a year. The Bible says, listen, it's narrow is the road to heaven and wide is the path to destruction. And what God is calling from us is faithfulness. To keep showing up day in, day out, to keep growing, to keep finding out more about God, to keep digging into His Word, to keep going for it, to keep pressing forward, to not grow tired and weary. But it's about preparing faithful people. It's about helping followers of Jesus to know how to live as history unfolds. It isn't a passage written to create fear. It's written to produce faithfulness. The goal isn't speculation. The goal is steadfastness. I'm going to need your water bottle. It's dry. I don't know about you guys. Woo. Please. Thank you very much. Love you. We are married, by the way. Thank you, Jesus. All right. The goal isn't for us to sit around and talk about like, okay, I want to look at all these charts and oh, there's a blood red moon and there's a blue moon and there's like, oh, like everything's happening and 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988 and 90 reasons why, I mean, like all this stuff, right? If you've been around the church, you know that you can look at all this stuff and try to figure everything out, and it doesn't change your life. What Jesus is saying, know what's coming and let it change your life. Be ready. The goal isn't speculation. It's steadfastness. It's holding firm. The goal is to make sure we're always living ready. So no matter when Jesus comes back, we are ready for it. It's also about filling heaven. Do not settle for trying to figure things out and you're not ready for it. The Bible says that Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. There's no thief that announces himself. Okay, I'm coming. I want to set an appointment to come in and... Right? Trying to figure it out is trying to figure out like that. Where we just have to be ready. We have to live ready. I want to recap the last couple of weeks. We started with the message called Dialed In. We talked about the importance of being dialed into what Jesus is saying and not being distracted by the temporal things of this world. Most of the time, what we spend our focus on is going to burn. Think about how much time you put into wealth and buying a house and buying cars that by the way, cars are not an investment. So don't ever think that they are. They're going to be gone at some point, right? Like everything you put your time and your effort into, if it's not kingdom, it's going to burn. This building, thank God, will burn one day. If you've been in trying to figure out like the mechanics of this building, you're thanking God too. Like looking at the air condition, like all this stuff, right? It's going to burn. What you spend your time on. And think about how much you're worried about things right now that do not matter when it comes to eternity. Think about how much time you spend. In fact, maybe your weekend has been ruined because you know you have to go back to work on Monday. We're focused on the wrong things. We're focused on things that don't matter in the end. And I can promise you, when you're sitting on your deathbed, because I've been there beside many people as they're sitting on their deathbed, they go, what I focused on did not matter. The only thing that matters is what we do for the kingdom and who we bring with us. Being dialed in, letting our focus get to where we have a kingdom focus, where we're focused on eternity. Don't just focus on your 70 or 80 or maybe 90 years here on this earth. But what is eternity? What are we doing for eternity? What are we doing to be ready to be with Jesus? Listen, folks, if you're a Christian, either we believe this or we don't, right? Jesus brought this concept to the attention of the disciples as he walked out of the temple. Remember in that first part, they were looking at how beautiful it was and how amazing it was. His disciples were amazed at that beauty, and Jesus shocked them. He said, not one stone will be left upon another. Everything they trusted, everything they admired, everything they thought would last would disappear. And guess what happened? Approximately 40 years after Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24:2, he said, not one stone shall be left here upon another. The Roman general and later the emperor Titus destroyed Jerusalem and the second temple in 70 AD. Everything Jesus had prophesied, they got the first picture of that 40 years later. Which proves that Jesus, when he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. How many of you ever missed something important because you were looking in the wrong direction? Maybe you were driving while in your rearview mirror for just a second, and then traffic suddenly stopped. Being dialed in and knowing what Jesus asks us to do is so important. Then Pastor Paula last week talked about sticking it out. And she talked about the temperature of our hearts. And I thought that was so good. This is to followers of Jesus. What is the temperature of your heart? Have you let it grow cold? When you go to the book of Revelation, Jesus calls the church of Laodicea out for neither being hot nor cold, or he's going to spit them out of his mouth, right? And what that word was is, who wants lukewarm water? We get a bath and it's lukewarm. Oh, you want a drink? Oh, it's lukewarm. It doesn't refresh anybody. What's your life? Are you letting, is your heart, that's such a great word. What's the temperature of your heart? And the temperature of your heart, if it's growing cold, you won't stick it out. Go back and listen to that message. It's challenging. Then we come to today, where we see that Jesus never promised his followers an easy road. He promised there would be hardship, persecution, and opposition. Somewhere in our American head, we've thought that God has promised everything's going to be easy and roses when you start serving him. Do you know it's the opposite way around? Because the enemy wants to pull you back. He wants to take you back. And in fact, some people have said, well, I just want to go back to where I was. It was much easier. Really? I just want to go back. Then maybe the enemy's not going to not mess with me as much as he's, no, trust me, you go back, it's a trap. He also promised those who remain faithful will endure, and that the gospel will continue advancing until every nation has heard. I do not want to be a wuss sitting back because I'm too afraid of the attack the enemy's bringing. I want to say, bring it. Bring it. Bring it. And you know what I'll do? Every time you attack me, I'm bringing 10 more people to heaven with me. So bring it. He cannot win. And that's what Jesus is saying. And listen, here we go. As we get into the scripture, we're going to look at Matthew 24, 15, and we're going to read through 22. Listen closely. The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. I want to stop there for just a minute. Did you know in Daniel 12, 4, the prophet said that the scrolls would be locked up till the end times, and then everybody would be talking about Daniel? Do you know right now, as I travel the country, everyone is talking about the book of Daniel, okay? There's a movie coming out this fall called Daniel in the Fiery Furnace. So it's very interesting when you see that at the end of the book of Daniel as one of the prophetic signs that we're walking into the end times. Just want to give that. The sacrilegious, so the day is coming when you'll see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. The sacrilegious object that causes desecration. Which meaning what do some other translations say? The abomination of desecration?
Desolation.
Okay, yeah. The abomination of desolation. It's the same thing. Standing in the holy place. Reader, pay attention. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out in the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return even to get a coat. How terrible will it be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days? And pray that your flight will not be in winter or on, sorry, I meant flight? I don't know. And pray your flight will not be in the winter or the Sabbath, for there will be a greater anguish than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. I don't think we'll be here at that point, but look at what it's saying. When Jesus said the day is coming that you'll see what Daniel the prophet spoke about, the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place, he was pointing the disciples back to Daniel's prophecy about a future moment when God's holy place would be defiled in an ultimate act of rebellion against him. When Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled in history, Jesus made it clear that there was still an even greater fulfillment to come. Many Christians understand this to be referred to a future time when the Antichrist will enter and rebuild the temple, stop the worshiping of God, and declare himself to be God, marking the beginning of a time of unprecedented tribulation. But Jesus' purpose wasn't to stir fear or satisfy curiosity about the future. It was to prepare the disciples to be ready, right? And today I'm going to be doing a little bit of teaching and preaching, all right? So I want to give us the background on that, and that's why I might be reading my notes just a little bit more in the teaching portion, because I want to give you that information correctly, okay? Jesus' purpose wasn't, like I said, to stir fear or satisfy curiosity about the future. It was to prepare his followers to recognize signs, to trust his word, and respond with immediate obedience. Will you say the word immediate? Immediate. Immediate. What does immediate mean? It means right now. It doesn't mean, okay, God, you asked me to be obedient. Now I want to do my list and figure out like all the pluses and minuses. No, delayed obedience is disobedience. Could you write that down? Delayed obedience is disobedience. So when God comes along and says, this is what I want you to do, how about we say, yes, I'm on it right now. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it right now because time is short. We don't hesitate. We don't cling on to what we're leaving behind, and we don't look back. We keep our eyes on Christ and faithfully follow wherever he leads. The one thing that stuck out to me as I read this portion of scripture is the idea of not looking back, not going back, not going back to who you were, not allowing the old ways of your life to transform and still continue to run in a new season. Don't look back. What am I focused on? What am I looking at? And here's what I've learned. The direction of your focus determines the direction of your life. Take a picture of that. The direction of your focus determines the direction of your life. That's why Christians can't afford to be worried about where God's going to take care of them. Their jobs and their homes and all the temporal things, because that will cause you to go in a direction that does not really trust God. At the end of the day, where you're trusting God and you're saying, God, I trust you. Some people live in the past. They replay old conversations. They're with a new person, but they're still going back to an old relationship, having fantasy of what that would have been like to be with that person. Some of you look back and, man, I wish I still had this job when that job wasn't good for you. Right. Old regrets. And then other people live in the future. What if this happens? And what if the economy crashes? What if I lose my job? What if Jesus comes back tomorrow? In fact, there's a whole bunch of job losing going on around here, right? With what's going on with the hospital. I mean, guys, we don't have to worry about it. God's going to open up another door if you lose your job. Why are you worried? God's got you. Go listen to Forrest Frank. He'll tell you, God's got my back. Okay, I can't sing it. What if the economy crashes? What if all of this time and effort worried about things that are not even going to happen? What if Jesus comes back tomorrow? Then you better be ready. People are so consumed about what might happen tomorrow that they never fully live for Christ today. Or they're so consumed with what happened yesterday that all they do is look back in regret and brokenness. When you're consumed with either looking ahead or with fear or obsessed with looking back in regret, both focuses have the same effect. They keep you from living in the present. Some of you, you go back because it's a protection mechanism. You go back because, man, I feel protected back then. There's others that go back because they go, well, man, if God worked that way back then, he's going to work this way now. And I don't have to, I'm going to control how he works. Listen, you don't want to control how God works. Let him work in a new way. There's a new season for you to walk through. Don't go back to your past. Some of you are like, well, I'm not going back. Okay, what are you thinking about? I'm not going back to my vomit like a dog, like what the Bible says. Okay, well, what's your attitude? I mean, you don't have to be physically going back to be going back in your mind. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, he is. So are you going back? And here's the thing. If you're going back and you're looking back or you're too far ahead, you're not trusting God. You got to trust him. And it's interesting, we live in a culture that's obsessed with knowing what's next. If we have to wait 24 hours to find out what's next, we're like panicking, yeah. Right? Yeah. We check the news before we get out of bed. It's bad news, I just warn you. We watch the stock market. We follow world events. We wonder if every headline is another sign of the end times. And if we're honest, that's exactly how people approach Matthew 24. They look for the timeline. They come looking for the clues. They come looking for the answers about the future. But Jesus has something much bigger in mind. Matthew 24 isn't primarily about satisfying our curiosity. It's about shaping our character. It's not just about the end of the world. It's about how followers of Jesus are supposed to live until the end comes. And over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about that. Jesus was preparing his disciples not with fear, but with faith. And now we come to the most sobering passages. We've read it, Matthew 24, 15 through 22. He begins talking about the future unlike anything the world has ever seen. And right in the middle of describing one of history's darkest moments, Jesus gives an unexpected command. He doesn't say, build a bunker. He doesn't say, panic. He doesn't say, try to figure out every detail. Instead, his words can be summed up in one simple challenge. Don't look back and don't worry about tomorrow. The greatest danger for a follower of Jesus isn't just what's happening around us. It's what captures our attention. So today I want us to discover what Jesus meant, why he pointed his disciples back to Daniel, and why his words are just as relevant for today as they were 2,000 years ago. I want to share with you four keys to understanding what Jesus was saying. Key number one, a moment will come that you cannot ignore. We can ignore a lot of things, but there are moments that are going to come that you cannot ignore. Matthew 24, 15, we see Jesus say, when you see the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place, immediately Jesus references something the Jewish audience knew well. He says, spoken of through the prophet Daniel. And if you look, Daniel led, he was a part of the Magi's, right? And so the Magi's would be the same, out of that same lineage would be the three wise men that came to Jesus. So, I mean, you look at just all of the ties of all how this all got put together. It's very interesting. Why Daniel? Because Daniel had already seen this. What was Daniel's prophecy? You look at Daniel 9, 11, and 12. Daniel receives visions about future kingdoms, future suffering, and someone that would desecrate God's temple, and the immediate fulfillment of that happened around 167 BC. Okay? Not only did Titus come in, but then you had Antiochus V, Epiphanius, invaded Jerusalem. He sacrificed pigs on the altar. He erected pagan worship inside God's temple. It became known as the abomination of desolation. To the Jewish people, it represented ultimate rebellion to God. But Jesus says, Daniel wasn't finished. There's another fulfillment still coming that we're going to see. Many scholars understand Jesus to be referring to a future Antichrist who once again will desecrate and rebuild the temple before Jesus' return. Do you realize how fast this could happen? I mean, like literally, think about some of the world events that have happened recent. And when it starts to happen and we see these signs, you can't ignore it. And how you respond is so important. That's what Jesus was talking about. Many scholars, when they look at that, whether someone holds a premillennial, amillennial, or a postmillennial perspective, which means Jesus is going to come back before the 7 years or in the mid of the 7 years, it's really not what we're talking about today. There's going to be a reason where evil openly opposes God in unprecedented ways. We're seeing that today. The question isn't whether difficult times will come. The question is, will your faith remain? The moment is going to come, and we must be ready for it. We can't afford to not be ready. And here's the thing. It's going to come when we least expect it. And all the signs are pointing, just like in Daniel, the signs are pointing that we're in this moment. And I don't know when it's going to be, but we got to be ready. Notice, Jesus isn't telling his disciples to become obsessed with timelines. He's telling them to recognize the season and remain faithful. Sometimes we become more fascinated with prophecy charts than we do following Jesus. We try to figure it out. I've met people who know every theory about Revelation, every blood moon, every political headline, every internet conspiracy, yet they've forgotten how to love their neighbor. Jesus never said, blessed are those who correctly predict prophecy. He said, follow me. Key number two, understanding the danger of looking back. Looking back can be dangerous because it causes us to go back. It becomes especially dangerous in our spiritual health when we go back to the past things that Jesus has set us free from. What are you going back to that Jesus has already set you free from? In verse 16, those in Judea must flee. Verse 17, a person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house. Verse 18, a person out in the field must not return home, even to get a coat. Why? Because hesitation would be deadly. Jesus says, when that moment comes, don't go back. Don't grab your possessions. Don't retrieve your memories. Run. It sounds strangely familiar. When we look at the Israelites, when they were being set free from Egypt, right? And God set them free, and they went out to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea had not parted yet. And they got mad at Moses, and they started grumbling, and they started to say, oh, what have you done? You brought us out here. Like, why don't we just go back? And what they didn't realize is the Egyptian army was right behind them. If they would have went back, they would have been completely annihilated, if I can talk. Last night was a long night. Too many fireworks. Jesus is saying the same thing to you. What's waiting if you go back? What's waiting if you go back? Is the enemy waiting for you to ambush you if you go back? And he's sitting in your ear and he's trying to go, oh, if you just go back, it'd be so much easier. Yeah. Oh, come on. Look what I'm going to give you. It will bring destruction. Stop going back. Right. Don't go back. It also reminds me of when God rescued Lot from Sodom. The angels gave one instruction, don't look back. Yet Lot's wife couldn't let go. Her body left the city, but her heart never did. What is your body left, but your heart has never left yet? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Your body walked out of that situation, but your heart has never left it. That's why you're so tempted to go back. And what happened to Lot's wife? She turned into a pillar of salt. Go read it in the Bible. Why? Because she loved what was still behind her more than she loved what was ahead of her. Sometimes we physically leave sin while we emotionally remain attached to it. Jesus is saying, if you are going to survive spiritually, don't keep looking back. Don't keep looking over your shoulders. Looking back will keep you from moving forward. Some people can't enjoy God's future because they're constantly replaying yesterday. That's what's replaying in their mind and in their brain. The good old days. Nostalgia. God does not call us to live in nostalgia. He calls us to walk in obedience. You can't drive in the rearview mirror. You're going to crash. When your rearview mirror is bigger than your windshield, how's that going to work for you? Doesn't. Stop looking back. Stop wanting to go back. And I'll tell you what, when the enemy tempts you to go back, run. And old mindsets and thoughts. And today, some of you keep going back, and God is saying, I've given you a new future. You got to step out of the past and move into the future. Key number three, don't live in tomorrow either. And I'm just saying it. You might go, Pastor, you already said that. Yeah, the things we need to learn are repeated multiple times. Yeah. Stop living in the future. And here's the tension. Jesus says, don't look back, but he also tells us to not obsess over tomorrow. Some of you can barely breathe because you're so worried about the future and it's not even going to happen. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And what does the enemy try to convince you of? Well, this is going to happen. Look what's going to happen. Look what the signs are pointing to. Like all of the lies. And this is where Matthew 6 becomes incredibly important going back. When Jesus taught us how to live in the future, he said, Matthew 6:34, and it's very simple. Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. All my worry warts and stress freaks in this room, take a picture of that right now. You're so worried about tomorrow, it's literally stealing the joy of today. Think about this. Matthew 24 actually prepares us for tomorrow, and Matthew 6 teaches us how to live in today. Some Christians have been so fascinated with prophecy, they stop living faithfully. They're watching headlines instead of loving people. They're watching YouTube instead of praying, watching speculation instead of serving. Jesus never intended prophecy to distract us from our mission. He intended prophecy to strengthen our mission. Satan has two strategies. If he can't trap you in yesterday, he'll paralyze you with tomorrow. Regret, anxiety, either way, you're not living where God has placed you. And I would submit to you, the biggest issue may be that you don't truly trust God. There's times where God asks me, do you trust me? Yes, I do. Do you trust me? Yes, I do, God. Right? So it's a constant evaluation of our hearts. God only gives you grace for today. Some of you, you're trying to go back and eat the manna that God gave you 5 years ago and it was already spoiled. God gave Israel manna one day at a time. And you know what? When people tried to stock up that manna, it would spoil. And God would call them out on it. He gave Moses enough light for one step at a time. God may only be asked, guaranteed, God's only asking you to take your next step. Some of us sit here and we go, okay, I've got my whole life planned out. I've got my 20-year plan. I know every step I need to take, and it becomes so overwhelming.
Right.
What's your next step?
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Well, God, I have 20 steps planned for tomorrow. No, what is it today? What's your next step for today? He gives us our daily bread, not our yearly bread. Daily bread, which I don't know about you, but fresh bread, I'd much rather have that than old stale bread. In fact, I want a piece right now. That fresh bread that bakes out of the oven. Ugh. Aren't you thankful that God gives you fresh bread every day?
Right.
Our daily bread. Faith lives in today. Don't allow fear to paralyze you. Live in today and don't worry about tomorrow. Key number four, Jesus is calling us to be faithful in the present. Well, God, I'll be faithful someday down the road when I have more time. No, you won't. God, I'll be faithful in my giving when I have some more money. No, it's harder at that point.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't put off what God is calling you to do tomorrow, today. Do it today. Don't put it off. The end times should never produce panic. It should produce purpose. Every day matters. Every conversation matters. Every invitation matters. Every act of kindness matters. Every prayer matters. Every person matters. Every moment of our life from this moment forward matters. If Jesus comes back today, I don't want him to find Hope City not ready. I want to find us serving him, loving, giving, sharing the gospel, discipling people. That's why we exist, not to sit around and talk about the future. Jesus then goes on and he shortens the days. And I'm telling you, things can happen very quickly. Why I even bring that up is we have to be ready. You never know when it's going to happen. And you might go, well, Pastor, they've been saying that since Jesus went back to heaven. Like the days are short. And the days are short, I'm telling you right now. Look at the prophecy that's already been fulfilled. I think something like 90% of the prophecy has been fulfilled at this point, which is different than any time in history. Verse 22, in fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. Who's God's chosen one? Anyone that chooses him.
That's right.
Right? If you choose him, he's going to lift us out of this thing. Even in judgment, we see mercy. God never loses control. History is not spinning out of control. The world would love to make you think that everything is just spinning out of control. No, we serve a God who controls everything. None of it's out of control. None of your world is out of control. God's already got it. You might be spinning out, but God's not spinning out. It's moving toward God's appointed conclusion. The world may feel chaotic, but heaven isn't nervous. Jesus still sits on the throne. He still knows the end from the beginning. Nothing surprises him. No matter what happens to you tomorrow, it does not mean that God is still not in control. In fact, sometimes God can be in more control than you can ever imagine, and things happen that don't make sense, and you see him position you right to where you need to go. So this week, don't spend your time wishing your yesterday was different. Don't spend your energy fearing tomorrow. Instead, ask yourself, where is Jesus asking me to be faithful today? Who needs my encouragement today? Who needs forgiveness today? Who needs an invitation today? 85% of people say they would come to church if somebody would ask them. What act of obedience have I been delaying today? Because today is where discipleship happens. No matter what the future looks like, we can trust that God has everything in control. God's already forgiven your yesterday. In fact, if you're a believer, it says your slate has been wiped clean, so forgive yourself and move forward. God holds your future. Live faithfully today. Stay dialed in. Stick it out. Don't look back. Every echo Jesus gives us about the end ultimately points us back to one simple truth. The safest place to be isn't having every prophetic detail figured out. The safest place to be is walking closely with Jesus today. Every day, a little bit closer. When we live like that, we don't have to fear tomorrow because we know the one who already is in our tomorrows and is standing there waiting for us. Don't allow the enemy to steal the present for you. Let's be a church that's not known for panic, but for peace. A peace that passes all understanding. Those scriptures are so good until you actually have to live it out. Lord, I want peace. And then you pray that peace that passes all, no matter what I understand about it, God, you can give me peace. It's when these truths, when the rubber hits the road. Not speculation, but faithfulness. Not fear, but for hope. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus until the day we see him face to face. This morning, we're going to take communion. And why I felt like it was so important, this message was written to believers. Right? That means you and me. If you're a Christ follower, it was written to us. And today, as we go into communion, I want to do two things. First, if you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus, as we read about this, I think we're face to face with the truth that if I don't know who Jesus is, the end is not going to look too great. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. The Bible tells us we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. The Bible says it's so easy. Believe in our heart, confess with our mouth. If that's you, where you say, man, I need to turn my life over to Jesus. Will you lift up a hand? I want to pray with you. If there's anybody in this room. Thank you. Anybody else? The Bible says all of heaven celebrates when even one person makes a decision. Anybody else? We're going to pray, and as soon as we get done praying, I'd like you to grab communion. We have communion at every corner of the auditorium. And then head back to your seat. Jesus, follow along with me. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Thank you for loving me when I couldn't love myself. Thank you for wiping my past away. Today I say, you drive and I'll ride. My life is yours. I surrender. Forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your communion. And listen, if you raise your hand at the front, at the back, at next steps, we want to give you a Bible and talk with you. But grab your communion and then just have a seat right back where you were at. And communion is for everyone who believes, so just come on, everybody. Some of you here today, you've wondered what the answer is to get rid of the stress in your life that you're constantly under. And the answer is trusting God. You've wondered, how do I get peace? It's trusting God. How do I break this depression in my life? It's trusting God. And as you're being seated, I want you to spend some time with Jesus right where you're at. Will you ask him that question, God? Am I going backwards or am I spending too much time looking at what's ahead and living in fear and worry? Let Holy Spirit just get in and begin to talk to your heart. And guys, the worst thing a Christian can say is, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good to go. And not let the Lord speak to them. Because I think every one of us has a bit of this in our hearts that we need God to come in and just let him just speak to you right where you're at. And then we're going to take communion together. And as he speaks to you, will you repent? Say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Like, I want to go, I want to live completely different than what I've been living. I want freedom. Right where you're at, will you lay it out to him? What you hold in your hand is the picture of freedom, the elements, how we have freedom. Lord, I thank you, God, that you gave us a path. Lord, I thank you, God, that you spoke to us about what it is to live, God, day by day. Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross for us. Lord, that we would have a way. God, that we would, that you made a way for us. You took the sin of the world on your shoulders. And Jesus, I'm so thankful Lord, that you made a way for us to live faithfully day by day, not worried about the future because you're already in the future. And God, not living with regret from the past because God, Jesus, you took it on your shoulders already. The Bible says anyone that gives their life to the Lord, their slate is wiped clean. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus, you made it possible because...
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.